Morning. Welcome to St. Mark's today. Would like to especially welcome our worship guests. I know some family are here and some traveling visitors. We're pleased to have you in God's house to be able to share the good news of Jesus with you today. The order of worship that we'll follow, all the songs and the liturgy is printed completely in the worship booklet for this morning. So if you did not get one on the way in, there are some ushers in the back. You can get their attention. Then you can make sure that you have all the materials necessary for worship. A couple of announcements before we get started. We are pleased to have Pastor Steve Hilmer here to preach the sermon for us today, and we'll give him a chance to introduce himself after the service. He is also works with our district mission. Evangelism coordinator for our district. And so we're happy to have him, and he will share the message with us, which is a formal reminder to do what you do every day. When we come to worship every Sunday, we proclaim God's name, we witness who our Savior is. When we sing our hymns, we say the great things our Savior has done. That's how easy evangelism, that's how easy reaching out is. And today is our Mission Festival Sunday, where we will be encouraged by the day of Pentecost to go and do what we do, that is, live our lives for our Savior, proclaim the great things he has done. So may God give us the strength and encouragement, the desire to do just that. The other announcement that I have, I wanted to thank the choir. I forgot to do that after first service. Thank you for your time and your energy and the voices for witnessing and encouraging us to do the same. I forgot to after the first service, and some of you might not be here after this service, so thank you very much. We appreciate you and what you do for us at St. Mark's. With those announcements, we worship our God. The opening hymn is printed for you in your worship booklet. Let us worship the Lord. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Father has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Kindness caused the light of the gospel to shine among us. Use us now as instruments of your love to reach out with the message of salvation to all people. Bless those who labor in the mission fields of our nation and grant success to their witness that many may be freed from sin. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The The first lesson for this morning really dispels a myth that God in the Old Testament is only angry all the time, and that he is only judging, and that he is only condemning. Here we see that although God does take his word and his law very seriously, he reaches out for his people, and he will not stop until he has brought his people back. The first lesson is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 34. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. This is the word of the Lord. We join together in singing our psalm for this day, Psalm 98. Second lesson and the gospel for today will be the basis for the sermon, so we will have some more introduction and background information as part of the sermon. The second lesson is recorded in Acts chapter 2. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated for the anthem, and following the anthem, we'll join in the hymn of the day.
Thank you. peace are yours. From Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Amen. The Holy Spirit started something pretty amazing that first Sunday. It was the first Sunday of his church, the New Testament church. You remember? Pentecost Sunday, tongues of fire on the apostles' head. Something absolutely amazing happened, and it happened right there at home, right in Jerusalem, and it began with the proclamation of God's word. Now, it didn't matter that a good number of people in the crowd had just 53 days ago cried, "Crucify." It didn't matter that another large portion in the crowd was from out of town. They were foreigners, spoke different languages. It didn't matter. It didn't matter that Jesus was no longer visibly present with them. And though the threat of ridicule, persecution, even imprisonment was very real, it just didn't matter. What mattered to them and what mattered to God the Holy Spirit was that the message was proclaimed. Listen again to the first words of our text that Peter spoke. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ."
There. It had begun. It had started right at home. The place where all mission work begins. That's a truth that we want to think about, we want to treasure, we want to give thanks for today. That home mission work starts right here in the homes of our hearts, in the homes which we live in. It starts right here. As we look at that this morning, we realize what a blessing it is to have been a benefit of that, but to be a privilege to be part of that home mission work each and every day, and to see what God accomplishes right among us. Fast forward with me, if you will, for two millennia, the year being about 1960. The Lutheran landscape in America was in turmoil. Two of the large Lutheran church bodies that had walked together from the days of the Civil War had split. There was toleration and even teaching of false doctrine, and Little Sister had to say, "I'm sorry, we can't walk with you anymore. We're not in the same mindset." And the thought had been out there and the words had been expressed, "Little Sister is just going to shrivel up and die. After all, what can an upper Midwestern-based church body of barely 600 churches actually do? How in the world is it ever going to survive?" By God's grace, it has. Did you know that presently the Wisconsin Synod supports missionaries and mission work in 24 countries across the globe? Did you know that since that day of barely 600 churches, we now stand at almost 1,300 churches? Did you know? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But how does that happen? It happens through the proclamation of God's word. It doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are, whether you're on the East Coast, the West Coast, the North, the South. What matters is the proclamation of God's word. Here in your hearts, in your homes, and in your lives. And when that is proclaimed, then God's mission becomes embraced. Not just up here in the head, but it's embraced here in the heart. just like it was 2,000 years ago at the beginning of that first church. Now, if you want to study how home missions works, that's the best place to go. Go to that first church. Look what happened on that first Sunday as Peter proclaimed God's word. See how it worked. Peter said, after Peter's words, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" They were convicted. They realized the gravity of their sin, that they killed God's Son on that tree. And rightly they had to ask, "What must we do? What can save us from this? Who can save us from this?" And that's when the Holy Spirit went into action once again. And Peter proclaimed, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." That's how home missions works. Through the proclamation of law and gospel, sin and grace, the reality that sin separates people from God, that sin condemns, that sin puts us in a very, very terrible spot. And who can save us from that? What can save us from that? Only the blood of Jesus, which has washed you clean of every single sin, which has opened the door of heaven for you. Yes, when God's word is proclaimed, His church grows. And did you see, it's kind of neat in this text, you and I are actually in there. It's for you, your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And in time, God has called you. Maybe it was 40, 50, 80 years ago, but there you are. And through some home mission effort, God's word was proclaimed to your heart. The gospel took root. What a miracle. What a joy to be a benefit of that. For here in this location, almost 50 years, God's word has been proclaimed. It's been shared in the community. I don't know if you could come out with a number of how many people have been impacted by the proclamation of the gospel, but it's amazing. It's amazing to think of that. PowerPoint that I wanted to show today, this is our, obviously it's a map of the United States, but the different colors are the districts of the Wisconsin Synod. And as I push this magic button, dots are going to appear. Hope you can kind of see that. For the next 6 minutes, dots are going to appear. These are the home mission congregations that have started in the Wisconsin Synod since 1960. It'll show the 60s here, and then it'll go to the 70s and 80s and so forth. Could you imagine that if after that first one was started, that the Board for Home Mission would have said to themselves, "There, we did it. Good job. Amen. Please rise." Can you imagine if they would have just said, "Yep, we did the Lord's commission. We started a congregation." Nah, of course not. As our choir reminded us this morning, the words of Jesus said that if we are quiet, then the rocks themselves will cry out. It is Jesus' commission to go and make disciples, to go and to continue to keep proclaiming that. The Great Commission doesn't allow us to be satisfied. The Great Commission is an ongoing activity that our Father desires and that He desires for us. And as you see these dots, we're into the 70s now. You notice how one appears and then after that suddenly around it. That's how mission work happens. People grow and they go to a certain area, but then they share it in their area. Congregations and groups of people spring up around them. That's the activity of God's people. And You want to know what the activity is all about? Look back at the first church. Look at the activities that they were doing. I'll read that again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and good, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, not just on Sundays, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Did you catch the activities? Devoted to God's word. Gathering together regularly. Encouraging one another. Fellowshipping with one another. Praying with one another. Helping those in need. Singing and praising God. When those are the activities of God's people, then God grants the good kind of growth. The right kind of growth. The growth that strengthens believers. And the growth that keeps people focused on God's mission. And that mission certainly includes seeking the lost. Heard that in our gospel lesson. I actually wanted to bring in, I had a penny with me this morning, but I had a AAA car incident this morning on the way in. So I dropped this penny. Did anybody see it in the parking lot on the way in? Or might be under there. Can you help me, please, find my penny? Can we get a search party together to go out into the parking lot? You really don't care about my penny, do you, sir? What if I told you that that penny was minted in 1943, World War II time, and that was the time when pennies were going from a copper alloy base to steel? And by accident, the press was left on, and there are 40 pennies out there that were accidentally made. The last one, by the way, or most recently, one of them sold on eBay for $85,000. So, can you please help me find my penny? Does that change things, huh, if it's worth $85,000? Nobody's running out yet, but you're thinking it, huh? I wish I had a penny like that. But isn't that funny what we would do for a penny? Yet what would we do for a soul? Would we sweep the house looking for it? Did the shepherd, did he sit under the shade of his tree, drinking his lemonade, guarding the 99, hoping that maybe that one sheep will accidentally find its way back into the pen? No. He went. He searched. The lady swept her house. And when she found it, the joy. When the sheep was found, he didn't go, "Bad sheep." Put it on his shoulders and carried it back home. And you read on in Luke chapter 15 and you get to the prodigal of the prodigal son, huh? And yeah, you know his sin and how bad he was and all of that, but focus on the father in that parable. You realize what he was doing the whole time? He was searching. And while the son was still a long ways off, he saw him. And he went out and he ran to him, threw his arms around him, welcomed him. That's the heart of missions. A heart that sees the lostness of the lost. Because that lost sheep is not going to find its way back in. That coin is not going to suddenly just roll out from underneath the table. That lost soul does not know Jesus and does not know how lost it is. Do we see that with our eyes? Do we see that in our hearts when you are in line at Walmart and that line is way too long? And those people are just in your way. How many of those people don't know Jesus? Or when the person cuts you off on the interstate. Are they really a bleepity bleepity bleep bleep? Or are they a
person for whom Jesus died. In my area, there are 6 grade schools, and all of those grade schools within about a 3-mile area have 800 kids, K to 6. And as I drop my sons off, and this sea of children and balls are flying all over the place, I cannot help but think to myself, how many of these children are not baptized? And I know that a number of them aren't, because they've come to our outreach events. And I've talked to the parents there about baptism for their, oh, that'd be, yeah, we should talk about that. And then I can't get the time of day, the open door, to actually follow up. And I see them day in and day out. Do we see the lostness of the lost? Do we realize just how lost they are? Or are we satisfied sitting under the shade tree drinking our lemonade, hoping that the lost are going to just come stumbling through our door on their own? You see, if we've lost that passion, that mission, that vision, then there's only one thing to do, and that's to go back to that first church and to listen to what the Apostle Peter has to say to us. Repent. Repent. And I get it. The sinful nature that's inside of us does not like to be told to repent, because that means that we would have to examine ourselves, and we might just possibly find out that our mission, passion, heart is not the same as our Lord Jesus's. That we might find out that we've been self-centered, that we've been selfish, that we've been too concerned about ourselves instead of the lost. We might actually see that and have to admit that we're wrong, and the sinful nature does not like to do that. The sinful nature says, look at what I do all the time. And that other, that's all their fault. They're the reason we're not growing. The sinful nature, the last thing it wants to do is say, I'm sorry. But I know that in you, in your hearts, dwells the Holy Spirit. He was given to you at your baptism. He's that same one that has led you to believe and convinced you that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He is the same one that works inside of you and me, that humble desire, that eager passion to run to the cross, to plead for his forgiveness. He's the one that works in our hearts, that confidence to know that the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all unrighteousness. He's the one that works in our heart that passion and renews that passion and puts us back on course so that we see the lostness of the lost, so that we see people who are not just in our way, but people who don't know Jesus. That same Holy Spirit is the one who will lead us to do what he did with that first church, huh? Devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking and bread of prayer, so that we remain focused on God's mission. When I came to this area, to Reno Sparks, in 2008, Shepherd of the Mountains had called me to start a mission congregation, a sort of a daughter up to the north. And it was part of their overall plan of 5 churches in 20 years. Get you going, and then we'll daughter off and we'll work on the next site. And it didn't quite, we didn't get there in 5 years, but at this point we are, ourselves are getting ready to break ground. We're coming off of the subsidy from our home mission support and from Shepherd, and the paperwork is being written for site number 3. By God's grace, things like this happen. Because there are souls out there, souls that you see walking around all over, souls who need Jesus. This morning's Bible study hour, I talked about that, and I guess afterwards we're going to have some pizza. I can talk more about that afterwards. How we can reach out, how we can share the gospel. It's my absolute prayer and confident prayer that in our hearts, all of our hearts, the Holy Spirit will continue to work in us that zeal, to reach out, to share the gospel. And really, doesn't your area kind of look like that first church in Jerusalem too? People from all different parts of the land, people that speak all kinds of different languages. Yet the gospel is for them. Jesus is for them. He is their Savior. Let us reach out with this treasure that God has given to us. And may God give us and continue in our hearts the joy of sharing His word. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise and we'll confess our Christian faith. We'll use the words of the Nicene Creed printed on page 12.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
You may be seated.
In our prayer this morning, we will once again remember Mrs. Shirley Marks, who has returned home and is receiving hospice care. And we'll also remember the Lederman family, especially Marinda and Gunnar, as Marinda continues to recover from the stroke that she recently suffered. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we praise you for pouring out spiritual understanding on Jesus' disciples at Pentecost. You came to them when they were confused and in doubt and taught them what Jesus meant when he told them he would die and rise again. You came to them when they were timid and afraid, and you moved them to speak boldly about the great things God had done to save the world from sin. Dear Holy Spirit, we too have felt uncertain and hesitant. Give us the courageous conviction of faith to speak to others about Jesus as you enabled the disciples to do so on Pentecost. Let us experience the joy of leading others to discover the way to heaven through faith in Jesus. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for the times we have failed to speak of Jesus' love to others because we were afraid. Forgive us for not trusting in your power and for not relying on your word of truth to bring others to faith. Help us remember your promises that when we share the Savior with others, you will be with us and you will give us the words to say. Dear Heavenly Father, we entrust to you today all of our brothers and sisters who are hurting, all of our brothers and sisters who are weak, who are weary, and are wandering. We ask that you would lead them back to your love. We ask that you would lead them back to your cross, and that you would heal and restore according to your good will and to your good time. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on behalf of Mrs. Shirley Marks again. We ask that you would be with her, that you would give her family strength as they stand beside her. We ask that you bless those who are caring for her and comforting her. Above all, extend your comforting arm to her, your strong arm, that she might rely on you. We ask that you would hold before her your cross on which you won her salvation and the promise that you prepare a place for her. So we ask that you would be with our sister Shirley and hear our prayers on her behalf. And dear Heavenly Father, we also ask that you would be with Marinda at this time and her husband Gunnar and Noel and Jenny Lederman and their families as well. It can be a difficult and confusing and frustrating time for Marinda, so we ask that you would give her patience to work diligently that she might recover physically. Above all, we praise and thank you for her faith and for her witness even during this difficult time. So give her patience, give her strength, and bless her husband Gunnar as well. And we also ask that you be with him and enable him to continue his seminary studies too. We hold these brothers and sisters before you and entrust them to your care. We ask that you empower us to seize every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus' love and salvation. Open the hearts of people everywhere so that many thousands will enter the kingdom of believers through the gospel, which your church proclaims throughout the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer, amen. Continue worship by making our preparations to receive the sacrament this morning. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Jesus Christ, your eternal word, created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father, for when Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only begotten Son to take on human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all your laws in our place and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior, for you have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. may this eating and drinking of Christ's true body and his true blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Pardon.
worship continues on page 19 with the Song of Simeon. Please stand. Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. That same Holy Spirit who blessed the disciples at Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit who lives in you, the same Holy Spirit who will move you to proclaim your Savior, the same Holy Spirit who will bless your message when you do. May God give you peace to live for him this week. Thank you again to Pastor Hilmer for sharing the Word of God with us. We appreciate that. Pastor Stray swapped with Pastor Hilmer today, so Pastor and his family are up the hill in Reno, and Pastor Stray shared God's word up there, and he will be back in time for class for those of you who are attending the Bible information class. So again, thank you for being here. Pastor Hilmer will stick around after worship, and you can greet him. We're also going to have some pizza, and then he will give part two of his presentation, so if you'd like to stick around, please do that. We did have a sign-up sheet for the food, but I'm sure if you would like to stick around, you could certainly do that. I have a number of announcements, and if I miss one, please please let me know because I misplaced my sheet after the second service. If you are looking for your offering statements, they are printed, but they haven't been sorted yet, and so they will be out next Sunday. I know there's an announcement that says they're out, but they're not, so next Sunday you can get your offering statements. We thank the choir, and again, for those of you who are remaining, thank you very much. We appreciate you. And our organist, our pianist, Rosemary, we thank you for sharing your talents with us. Thank you. If you enjoy coffee and you can take a turn preparing it on a Sunday morning, there's lots of room on the sign-up sheet. So if you would like to help by making the coffee for a Sunday morning, please see the sign-up sheet. It's on the table over by Mr. Riedel and by Mr. Weisker. Also for Reformation Sunday, next Sunday we have a big celebration in the afternoon. It is not only our area Reformation Festival, but it is also commissioning of missionary Guy Marquardt. If you are coming to the meal, please sign up. Let us know how many to help with the planning. And if you can help with setup or takedown, there's also a place for you to sign up on that same sheet. So please see that sheet before you go. Canvassing, the Board of Outreach is preparing a group to get together to go out and to meet our neighbors to see how we can better serve our immediate community. It's been a while since we've done that. And our Board of Outreach Chairman, Dave Call, who has agreed to stand up and wave so you can see who he is going to just briefly meet with anybody who's interested in learning more about that effort. You are not signing up to do that, but Dave will be meeting back on the bleachers. So see him if you would like some more information about canvassing, which is as simple as going out to meet our neighbors in the community, going door to door to see how we can better serve them with the gospel. About Advent by Candlelight is coming up on November 29th, so that seems like a ways away, but the planning is already underway for that event. This year, we would like to decorate the tables with Christmas dishes. If you have a set of Christmas china that you are willing to use, please contact Penny Boshaw or Trish Peterson. So those are also your contact people if you would like more information about Advent by Candlelight in general. So if you have Christmas china, please talk with Penny and or with Trish. And the last announcement that I have, there are a number of these flyers giving you more information about a guest speaker that we're having on October 27th. He's Mr. Brad Dacus. He had a child or two enrolled at St. Mark's a number of years ago, and he works at the Pacific Justice Institute. And we're hoping to share some information with the community to get people onto our campus and maybe make a connection with more of them. October 27th is that date of his presentation, and again, the flyers are on the back table if you'd like more information about who he is and what the Pacific Justice Institute is. I believe we covered them, although Gary had one. Oh, he found your penny. Okay. God bless you. Please feel free to stay and visit for a little bit. And if you are staying for the pizza lunch and you can help, maybe we will set up over here, I think, 7 round tables. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.